So one of the things that I hear Laith speaking to and want to raise, but also at the same time transition to our next letter, and I'll also invite our listeners to remember that you are tuned to the Equity Reading Group, which is a service of the National Campus and Community Radio Association. The Equity Reading Group coordinates regular reading and listening groups that are open to all NCRA members on an ongoing basis. And we cover materials related to equity, anti-oppression, communication, and conflict resolution, and creating participatory programming content. We are focused this week on two letters of resignation, one from Christiana Clemens, which we have been discussing for the last 20 or so minutes, and we're transitioning to, we're not going to leave Christiana's letter aside, but we can now perhaps bring it into the conversation with the letter from Zoe Ludsky, which who is a long-term programmer from CJMP in Powell River in British Columbia. And this letter is quite extensive, so I'd like us to spend a little time sitting with it. And I think it also speaks well and in fact, directly quotes from Christiana's letter. So it's a good time to transition to that. And then I wanted to come back to Lay's point about the NCRA, the National Campus Community Radio Association's membership. And I guess the question that Lay's comments raises for me is specifically about what kind of history do we provide our members of the association? What kind of knowledge do they have about the history of the NCRA and the history of these equity-seeking groups that Laith described, who were part of founding the NCRA and coming up with the statement of principles that I read to you passed in 1987 that specifically suggested that campus and community radio stations are basically exist to recognize that the mainstream media has failed equity-seeking groups, and in many instances, and I'm quoting here from the Statement of Principles, in many instances reinforces social and economic inequalities that oppress women and minority groups of our society. So that was a statement that was obvious to the membership of the NCRC in 1987. I guess my question is today, what work are we doing to be sure that that history is rooted in our day-to-day struggle as well? And just to be proactive, I want to offer that I myself spoke and presented at this year's Campus Community Radio Conference about the history of community radio practices globally to demonstrate how those practices are rooted in struggles by equity-seeking groups, by struggles who are seeking to use the airwaves as a tool for achieving justice and ending oppression. So I wanted to open up comments for the participants in today's Equity Reading Group and perhaps move us towards Zoe Ludsky's letter of resignation. Would anybody like to pick up the microphone and continue the conversation?
Well, Megan here. I think that what you were talking about in terms of history is very much present in this. I'm looking at the paragraph that begins in the continuum of learning on equity issues. For me, what I get out of this paragraph is talking the talk versus walking the walk, the long, hard walk, as she notes very truly. And what really caught me was her comment, and I'll just quote, "I believe the NCRA was beyond primary levels of conversation around equity issues because of the amazing mandate and statement principles." And I do see through my brief or long term, depending on who you're comparing it to, association with the NCRA. Her other sentence here that ends that I'll summarize as saying that we're not really, that the NCRA is not really willing to fund some of the equity work. And kind of put their money where their mouth is. So there's the talk, the walk, and the money. One of the things that I think is a real issue and why we need that history is because the NCRA is only its members. Ironically, we do have a high instance of staff participation, of of participation, especially by high-level staff. And, you know, one of the things we lost with Zoe was a volunteer perspective. And I think that we're all probably predisposed to focus on the things that we feel relate to our lives and our identities and our experiences, which is one of the, you know, one of the reasons that people will pick up issues that they feel relate directly to them. There isn't as much allyship participation, I think, as we need at the NCRA. But I also, the idea that the board, and, you know, is also has high turnover, I don't know if high turnover is correct, but things do change. And so that, in comparison also with the developments that happen in terms of equity conversation, vocabulary changes, resources change, what we identify as best practice will change and well should. But without that history, it's very difficult to not keep having those conversations. And to a certain degree, I think there is value in it because it establishes where we are so that we know where we can go. It's really difficult. And it notes in the minutes that I had identified in my first, in the first board meeting, and it's noted in the minutes publicly that there is a necessary component of funding, even in as much as if we can recognize that equity seeking groups generally tend to have to fight on their own or for their own issues, quote unquote, there isn't that allyship there. And then, so you have barriers upon barriers upon barriers. Because staff tend to be overly participating in the NCRA, I think that is a big part of this, where we're participating. We're not necessarily professional equity developers, and we're not necessarily in a position to spend as much time as we should considering this mandate from the NCRA. So I see that very much in this paragraph, where what does walking the walk look like? I think talking the talk is actually a big part of equity, because I think what we say and how we say it creates a feedback loop with how we act, and that I believe communication very much is action. But it's interesting. Zoe's letter has had me thinking, what does that look like? What does that look like on a board level? What does that look like between our members? Because the NCRA is its members. You know, the NCRA is not the board or the staff, per se. So that's something that really got me thinking from this, was this paragraph, I think. I mean, obviously there's a lot to chew on, but in terms of how this might affect our activities, this really stood out for me, is what, regarding all this content that's amazing from Zoe, what does walking the walk look like, and what are some of the structural things that are preventing us from investing in that?
If anybody else wants to address that paragraph, it's the second to last paragraph on page 2. And again, it starts in the continuum of learning on equity issues. At the end of that paragraph, she sort of offers an example. It says, I understand now that the association is happy to apply for funding under the banner of equity, but not fund the necessary training, time, and outreach required to support equity work rather than perpetuate and reinforce systemic oppression. And so this, for me, highlights a need for the organization to ensure that funding applications, especially that purport to represent or support the work of equity, that they also address making sure that work includes training, time, and outreach that's actually required to do that kind of equity work, rather than just take the label, get the money, do a very time-sensitive project, and then write the funding report at the end of it. Anybody else want to comment on that paragraph or any other section? Just be sure to identify yourself. Thank you, Megan, for your comments.
I think this is Victoria from CKUW. Again, I want to start off my voice on the mic by respecting Zoe and just saying how great she is. And I mean, talking in this letter about mental health, she presented at the last conference in St. John, and she gave a really inspiring and moving and transformative workshop on mental health and accessibility in our sector. I think the thing that comes to my mind in terms of accessibility, and specifically in talking to others about or talking about the conference and participation at the conference, I kind of have been thinking, like, personally, I love conference. But the thing is like, when we're talking about access and who goes and who you see, there's so much to consider. Like, I would think that, you know, and I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm just saying, like, it's like you have to, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I think she's got a point, and I think that to really be equitable, it would take a whole restructuring of this idea of conference and coming out and who you see. If you wanted to see equitable representation, then you need to restructure maybe how conferences happen.
That did happen a couple years ago with the development of the Women in Equity, or sorry, the Women in Radio Conference, which then became a couple years back the Equity in Radio Conference. And so these are two ways in which the general membership have tried to reorganize the space convened annually by the National Campus and Community Radio Association to ensure that women's voices and experiences in the sector are heard. And then now also to ensure equity-seeking groups' voices and perspectives are heard. I have, again, given my privilege of having been around the organization since 2004, I have seen various attempts, but I do agree that there is a lot of work to do. I guess that I would add, to speak from Christiana's letter, which we were just speaking about, it's not rocket science. Yes, the issues are complex, but it's not rocket science. I feel like we have so much knowledge and experience and people who care about these issues in the sector. If we're able to bring them through initiatives like the Equity in Reading Group, working with the equity officers, we can help build an organization that is, to also speak to another section of Zoe's letter, an accessibility organization as opposed to an accommodation organization. So the distinction that Zoe makes there is, this is in the last paragraph on the first page, that, and she was quoting Barbara Roberts, who is the human rights officer at the University of New Brunswick, who gave a workshop that was also earlier mentioned about mental health and community radio, that there's a difference between accommodation and accessibility. An accommodation organization is a reactive organization. There must be an incident. The office has stairs leading up to it, but it's not going to be dealt with as an issue until someone who can't climb the stairs arrives. An accessibility organization is an organization that's proactive and takes a systemic approach. You look around your stations, for example, and the environment around it, and you say who is here and who isn't here, and so on. So that's a distinction that that Zoe had made in her letter, drawing on Barbara. Laith, you wanted to make a comment?
Well, I mean, the letters themselves are kind of this incident that is forcing the NCRA to discuss it. The resignations themselves and the fact that people decided to speak about this publicly, and the problems that happened at the conference above and beyond what is mentioned in these letters. This is what is really, you know, advancing this conversation at this moment. And it's very unfortunate that without kind of the dirty laundry coming out publicly and resignation letters that have to be published because they're coming on from a board member, there wouldn't be a discussion to talk about today and all those issues that happened.
Laith, I hate to, you know, interrupt your time, but I do want to, I guess I want to say that we want to maybe be careful to keep it to what's actually in the minutes. I mean, I definitely recognize that when there are incidents, it really spurs people to act because it fully identifies really directly a specific issue. And I think it really allows, especially someone like me who's new, to get to have something to kind of leap off of and to jump off of. And I think it spurs action. I would say that my experience was that there was an opportunity to, I mean, these kind of things, this letter, I know they would have been public anyway, but it was really important to us that we do involve the membership in the discussion. And I don't know, I guess my thought is that often what happens is incidents really highlight like where the holes are in a way that maybe can seem more actionable to the people who are part of the people who are left kind of in this situation. And I'm not going to speak on behalf of the other board members, but on a personal level, I think that these kind of issues are, I don't feel like it was, we're only going to act on this, because of these letters, but rather that it really highlighted really, really specific message that we could actually share. And that because they were leaving, they were able to be kind of more honest. So I definitely think that your comment is correct in a lot of ways, but at the same time, the idea of it's hard to necessarily anticipate what the individuals were trying to hide or share, based on these letters, what the board was trying to hide or share. I think that is something that you probably have a lot of experience with in terms of coming from your personal experience with the board. And, you know, I wasn't there for your experiences with the board, but I think we should be careful of surmising too much. I think one of the things about these systemic issues is that regardless of the personal feelings or what people were trying to hide or share, that these issues do kind of transcend, even if they're reflected in interpersonal and policy.
So Megan, something that you started with was about wanting to stick with what's in the minutes. And I think that's the value of these two letters having been sent out to the membership in the minutes, is because unfortunately there is a hegemony of minutes in nonprofit organizations. If we want to talk about power and privilege, who gets in the minutes, what issues gets in the minutes, how many resignations have there been before at the NCRA that have not been minuted in this way? This leaves a gap in history and potentiality for collective learning. I also just want to pass the mic along too. So Megan and myself have talked a lot. Laith, you were sort of somewhat interrupted there, but we also have Victoria, Michaela, and Carly on the line with us.
And Sarah.
Oh, and Sarah. Sorry, Sarah. Anybody else want to speak?
I certainly liked what you said, Gretchen, about the transparency. And I think what I've witnessed personally is a renewal to commit to that transparency. And I did attend your meeting on the history of community radio. And another thing we've acknowledged recently is the importance of legacy in this organization, so that we're not constantly redoing this work. I mean, as far as our statement of principles, it's noble. And that's why I wanted to have this conversation on air, so that we can continue to be transparent and way pavers, because you absolutely nailed it, I think, too, Gretchen, in your presentation at the conference, where you said the NCRA is always way paving. So is there things we can do to find out what's going on? How many voices are being diversely represented at each station as a board? Yes. Should we do it? And are we going to do it? Absolutely. And I hope we're tasked in the strategic plan to do that sort of stuff, because I do want to know, like, why statistically, if there's 22 languages being broadcast on a certain station, why we're not getting diverse representation at the conference, and how we can work it to task our equity committee and our reading or our equity officer to maybe fund some of those things so that we can get more people and, like, as an organization, take a proactive stance in detailing what we could see as the value of that diverse participation and an accessible conversation. The NCRA, to me, is an accessible organization in that it truly is available to all, but we're not actively recruiting. We've now recognized so that we can include all. And maybe once one community is on the air, that's enough for them. Or isn't it? What do they need that we can fill in the spaces? So like, I'm really looking forward to going forward as an organization. And I feel like we've lost two really powerful workers here. And a bit what Megan said earlier about having to now kind of refocus and reorient without two of our, like, strongest supports in this work has just been really challenging and kind of fortifying, you know. So I'm really glad we all came together in this conversation. And I can take away a lot and just, you know, there's things we can do, but I'm also very proud of us just to air that dirty laundry, so to speak, and actually have this conversation so that we can engage people around us and say, look, we're having this issue and you should be too, because other organizations aren't even having these conversations in Canada. So I do want to make, like, I'm proud of us for that, even starting it.
You're listening to the Equity Reading Group, which is a project of the National Campus Community Radio Association, open to all NCRA members. We're dealing with two resignation letters from former members of the National Campus Community Radio Association Board of Directors. We're putting them in conversation with a statement of principles. We were just discussing the difference between an accommodation organization versus an accessibility organization. And Sarah, I agree with you that the NCRA strives to be an accessibility organization, but without taking that assessment and without just being reactive to each equity need, it's still a work in progress. We still have work to go to be an accessibility organization, and that means taking a proactive stance on these equity issues and to deal with oppression within our organization. I want to pass the mic to either Victoria, Carly, or Michaela. Would anybody who's not spoken yet on Zoe's letter like to speak?
This is Victoria from CKUW. I was just going to note that I'd already sort of made some comments, and I just respect the voices that have contributed to this discussion. So I think I've said all I can say at this time.
Thank you for that, Victoria. Carly, we haven't heard from you. Michaela?
Yeah, I don't think I have anything to add at the moment. So I'm really tired. I've been working a lot of shifts at the hospital lately, but glad that I was able to join.
Thank you for joining us, Carly. Laith, you were speaking there for a moment. You want to jump back on the mic?
I guess the issue is that same things have been happening now for, you know, the last 10 years. We've seen this come back and forth. This discussion, this has maybe been the most biggest explosion of these issues lately at the NCRA, and accumulating with these two resignations. But if the organization keeps dancing around these issues and is not able to actually deal with the structural problems happening at the station levels that are leading up to this, what we see as effects of it in the NCRA and its decisions and directions and interactions at the conferences, then you cannot just put a band-aid on it. You have to deal with things in a systemic way, and we have to look at how the stations themselves and the changes that happened in the landscape of the community broadcasters, and how is the CRTC, encouraging this kind of segregation that is happening in our communities and allowing us to end up with spaces that result with what we have. Those are very big questions, but they are being the way that they are appearing at the NCRA and at this NCRC as a conference is in a personalized way. And this is where it's clear that it is not, the personal issues are not the problem. Those are just symptoms of this greater systemic issues that we do.
Just to bring the two letters back in conversation with each other, I'd like to highlight the experience that Laith just shared in terms of this has been many years. You can read the members' resolution book of the NCRA, which I would invite every member, every new community radio station who joins the NCRA to have a look at, because a history of struggle is built into those members' resolutions. So like the statement of principles that we read at the start of today's Equity Ingredient Group, that comes from a history of struggle, and that is one of the members' motions in that book. I saw Christiana's letter point to structural, systemic, and actions that are happening at the NCRA that are rooted in oppression. And I saw Zoe's letter provide specific examples, whether it's the accommodation versus accessibility, what kind of structural organization are we? Do we take a proactive approach, or are we just reactive? With regard to systemic issues in the association, Zoe highlighted how systemic oppression is interrelated in policy and procedure. Also in terms of comments and actions being rooted in oppression, again, to de-isolate the experiences so that we don't understand this as one person not getting along with another person, which seemed to be indicated in Lay's comments and in Zoe's comments when she's talking about at the top of page 2, that people must be willing to break barriers, willing to stand up and give voice to inequalities, willing to fight those who will disbelieve or disagree, willing to hear ignorance repeatedly and then hear it used to not only excuse behavior, but then reinforce the need to move slowly toward change. When I read this, I see evidence of the same struggle against oppression within organizations that all sorts of actors have faced throughout time. And I think specifically of Nina Simone's Mississippi Goddamn song, which was a reference to the struggle of the civil rights movement in the United States, where there was also the line, go slow, too slow. So I do feel that when actors engage these issues of oppression and fight for equity, we run into a lot of the same experiences, and go slow is one of those that are rooted in oppression of equity-seeking groups. So I definitely invite all members of the National Campus Community Radio Association to read the two letters and to put them in conversation with the statement of principles. I hope that you've enjoyed the time with the Equity and Reading Group here hosted by CKUT, that's included the participation tonight of Laith, also from CKUT, Carly from CILU. We have Megan on from CGSF, Victoria from CKUW in Winnipeg. We also have Michaela joining us from Toronto, and Sarah also from the Toronto area. Any closing words from tonight's participants?
Michaela, I just want to say I heard a lot of strong voices tonight, and it really made me very proud. And I think you should all be very proud of yourself. This is a really great discussion, and thank you for letting me be part of it.
Thank you, Michaela, for joining us from Toronto.
Yeah, I would just extend that feeling of gratitude and respect to everyone who's participated in the discussion, and to listeners in Montreal who've listened.
Thank you, Victoria.
I, it's Megan here from CGSF. I want to thank everyone for participating, and again, Christiana and Zoe for putting themselves out there once again on behalf of the organization, and why this really is a service to the organization rather than, you know, any type of abandonment. Really is something good. I wanted to just respond and say that I do believe that people can be so worried about knowing everything about a subject that they may not move until they feel prepared, because it can be quite stupefying, the amount of information and the amount of ways that conversations and actions around these issues can go quite wrong without thoughtfulness. But yeah, we can't let that stop us from making real strides, and that the way that we communicate can help with that, because we can start to trust each other and give each other leave to make mistakes that can be less of a devastating impact because of that trust that's being built. And I'm hoping that we can contribute. I'm hoping to contribute to that as a board member, and I really appreciate everyone's contributions today. Hopefully we can keep having these conversations in this really open forum, and I think it's a really valuable thing, and I hope people continue to participate.
Thanks, Megan.
Thank you, Gretchen.
Thank you, Sarah. Carly, thanks for joining us after a long day's work.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Gretchen, for moderating.
No problem. This has been another edition of the Equity and Reading Group. We want to thank all our participants today, Megan, Sarah, Victoria, Carly, Michaela, and Laith. Thanks to CKUT for hosting this edition. If you're interested in joining the NCRA's Equity and Reading Group, visit ncra.ca to find out when the next one is. Thank you all very much. You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.